Good day. This is Melissa Mormon with BD Extra. We are here today to provide a weekly update on what is happening out in our marketplace, and there certainly is a lot happening out there. Today's specific topic is all around consumer confidence, given some of the things that we're all facing. And as most of you know, BDX is owned by the home building industry. We've been around for 20 years. We actually just had our 20-year anniversary party recently in the past week. And we basically focus on digital transformation in the home building industry. So today's guest with me is Mr. Tim Costello, who is the CEO of BHI and BDX. And he's going to be sharing what we're seeing out there in the marketplace today, given all of the volatility that's happening. So, Tim, welcome. Thank you for joining us. That's just a light topic.
And, no problem. Always happy to help. So.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm going to start off with one question before we kind of dive into what are we seeing. What do you think the primary factors are that are really affecting real estate today?
We've got four kind of primary factors that we're dealing with, and they're all kind of synergetic, meaning they're all intertwined to each other, and you know, two of them are fairly negative, and then two of them generally are positive. And you're trying to figure out are these going to balance out, or which ones are going to win, and what's the outcome? So you've got the, you know, the coronavirus and the pandemic issue on the one side that's certainly causing a real change to society. You know, people are being hunkering down, they're spending less. It's causing all kinds of disruptions within supply chains and consumer spending. But at the same time, though, we're also experiencing a stock market collapse, which in general always erodes consumer confidence. When you see your 401ks go down, your investments go down, right? Consumer confidence drops, and we kind of delay large purchases. So those two are kind of on the debit column. At the same time, we've got two things that generally really fire up real estate and housing. Real estate's interest rates have come down dramatically. As you just heard this Sunday, interest rates are now almost, at least the Fed level, almost at zero. They're at 0.25%. And what that means is lower mortgage rates. We'll see the mortgage rates potentially under 3% for the first time in over 50 years. That normally would spark a lot of enthusiasm for real estate in general, whether it's new homes, used homes, doesn't matter. The other thing on the plus column are oil prices. And it's kind of a weird metric because oil prices are like a dual-edged sword. Consumers, on one hand, want oil prices to be as low as possible because it costs us less to fill up our cars, right? Also, the price of natural gas falls with that. It costs us less to heat our homes. Our bills go down. We have more money to spend. We start thinking about what we can do with it, and buying homes always pops up on that list. The challenge is if oil prices go down too low, there's a jobs impact of that because we have a lot of employment in the oil industry. It could affect jobs. And once you start affecting jobs and wages, that has a negative impact on the economy and therefore transitions over to a negative impact on real estate. So oil is a little bit tricky in understanding what column it's going to be in. But right now what we have is we have all four of these in play very dramatically. It's not like some of these are changing a little bit, or these are four huge impacts in the market that we live in, and they're all right now weighing on consumer confidence.
And I can't wait to hear what you're seeing in terms of consumer confidence. And we've certainly been here before with 9/11 had an impact, obviously the downturn that we all lived through and experienced. So I know it's really tough to predict how these things are all going to play out, but we can at least understand what is happening today.
Yeah, prediction's one thing. Okay.
Yes.
Talking about where we are today is a little bit easier. I mean, we're really fortunate. We've been in this business for 20 years. We've seen multiple isolated regional catastrophes. We've seen national events. We've seen how the markets and consumers have responded to these. And over the years, we've developed these models so that we can really understand kind of what's going on with the consumer. You know, we analyze consumer behavior and real estate traffic across all verticals, not just new homes, but also resale and used properties, new home properties. We look at that from a consumer confidence and search perspective. And then on top of that, of course, we own and operate New Home Source and New Home Source Professional, which are the nation's two leading destinations for consumers to find new homes. By the time you kind of blend all that together, you get a very clear-eyed view of what's going on with respect to consumer interest in real estate and how confident consumers are in the real estate sector. And that leads directly to searches, to leads, to foot traffic, to closings. But it is a canary kind of in the coal mine, right? And it leads all of that by several months. So the situation we have right now is most builders actually are experiencing extraordinarily good sales, because those sales, you know, are taking place right now. Those people searched months ago, right? They're at the end of the pipeline. So we have a really tough situation for builders to navigate right now. If you ask them in their sales center what's going on, they're going, oh my gosh, we're selling properties, we're closing things, we're really busy and all that
kind of stuff. Absolutely. Even just last week, builders were high-fiving and super excited about how great the quarter was going. So,
but what we see right now in the data is that consumers are in a very significant contraction within the real estate space, and this all took place really in the course of the last 3 weeks. You know, it's not that unusual when you get into a kind of a national crises where you see this kind of very instantaneous downturn in consumer demand. But I think we have to prepare ourselves for a significant consumer contraction at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, now that you've kind of been into the data and looking at builder websites that we run and traffic and our sites and Google and all that is happening, what are you seeing?
Well, I wish we had had this call 3 weeks ago, although it would make us look really stupid. But 3 weeks ago, if you go into kind of the end of the third week of February, we would have told you that 2020 is really adding up to be a little bit better year than 2019. Traffic levels were higher across the board in all categories. Consumer interest was really pretty high and pretty strong. There was nothing on the radar. And it's kind of unusual because you think back to the coronavirus epidemic. It started in November in China. By December, it was already pretty big. By January, they were already locking down cities, right? So all of this was going on overseas, but it had had absolutely no effect whatsoever on the U.S. consumer. They were still full-blown looking at real estate, interested in real estate, shopping for real estate at record levels, at least recent record levels.
Well, and I do remember even at IBS, not on our radar.
Not on anybody's radar.
No. In fact, you met some China.
Neither was the fact that I was shaking hands with a company from Wuhan, China at the time at IBS. So that we'll just put that
in the back. And that's probably best that we're practicing social distancing today on this call. So just so everyone knows.
So, you know, up to the third week in February, basically everything was fine. We entered the fourth week of February, and we instantly saw something had changed in the marketplace. This end of February into March period is kind of an interesting period for web traffic and real estate, in that you start moving into spring selling season. So in the very waning weeks of February, we start to see about a 3% increase in web searches for real estate each week. So kind of month over month, you end up with kind of about a 10-12% increase in overall in traffic. And it's just a seasonal thing. This isn't about economic conditions. It's just kind of people coming out of winter in a lot of markets, and you see more and more people. And every week, you see about 3% more people searching for real estate. We went from the third week of February to the fourth week, and what we instantly saw was that there was an 8-10% reduction in the number of people searching for real estate. This is an extremely abrupt and sharp termination of a behavior that had been pretty consistent up until that point all throughout 2019 and 2020. When you add then to that the expected lift, by this time we had already seen probably about a 15% decline then in what we would have expected for shoppers. We saw a net decline of 8-10, but we should have actually seen more. So it ends up with about a 15% decline. Then the first week of March hit us, and that was the week Fed cut interest rates. So on the 3rd of March, they cut interest rates by another 0.5%, which was really dramatic. It was an unplanned meeting of the Fed, emergency session, they cut rates. And that seemed to stabilize the market a little bit. The first week of March, we saw another small drop of a couple percent, which you would expect again to see a little bit of an increase, but it wasn't disastrous. It looked like perhaps the cut in interest rates spurred some more people to reassess whether that maybe this was the time to buy. What is probably most catastrophic happened in the week that we just concluded, the week of that ended on the Sunday, March 15th. We saw an additional 10% decline. This brought the total decline from expectation now over that 3-week period to almost a 25% reduction in people looking for real estate in just a matter of 3 weeks. And that's why, you know, we're kind of messaging to our builder partners that in the coming months, we are going to see a reduction in foot traffic, a reduction in the number of consumers looking at real estate, and they're going to start to see that in contracts and in foot traffic if they don't do something to intervene. You know, this varies somewhat, by the way, region by region. You know, right. you paint a national picture, right? It varies somewhat, but what we did see is there was a capitulation in this last week where all markets, no matter where you were in the United States, consumer confidence dropped, the amount of people searching for real estate dropped. They're simply focused on something else right now. As a result, there really weren't any safe harbor markets, which in the past, mm-hmm. you know, you always see a market here or there that goes, oh, but Austin's so hot, or Seattle's so hot, or Denver's so hot.
Right.
We are now past that. We've plowed through those barriers, and all markets are seeing retractions.
And probably just the realization that, the virus itself is going to be probably everywhere and is everywhere. So you used to kind of think, oh, it's only in this other market or this other state.
Yeah, like I said, but again, there's multiple factors here.
Yes.
But by this point, we've also seen the stock market go down by almost 30%. So there are people looking at their 401ks, and if they didn't take action, when they thought they had a down payment, in their savings, now maybe they don't have enough money for a down payment, or maybe they still do, but they're just worried about maybe needing it because they're starting to worry about job security. This is the confidence game that we kind of go through in economic cycles. It's not always just about the facts.
Right.
It's really about the psychology. You buy a home, you make that commitment when you believe that that's a good commitment to make and that you're going to be secure in the future. And as soon as you start to question whether you'll need your savings for something else, whether your job is secure, right,
mm-hmm.
Then you start to contract in these areas.
Interesting. All right. So where do we go from here?
Well, you're not in the fetal position, so that's good.
No, because I don't want to curl up on the carpet.
Anybody, it's a fool's game to start to predict the future, but we should at least understand what's at play. And this all depends on the length and the severity kind of this pandemic response and the depth of the stock market correction. And it's really a combination of both of those things happening at the same time. If this is relatively short-lived, if we can say, oh gosh, that was a weird 4 weeks or 5 weeks, where something was going on, then it is reasonable to expect that the economy will bounce back. Not very many people have lost their jobs. Not very many wages will be have been destroyed during that period of time, right? And you could get back to normal within at least some reasonable period of time. If it extends past that, then there is an actual economic impact that we will have to recover from. Once people lose their jobs, they stop spending. Once wages are reduced and hours and shifts are reduced, they stop spending. And that contribution to the GDP is lost. And it kind of begets a whole nother round of people losing hours and being laid off, right? And if we enter that spiral, because this goes on for a longer period of time, then we're going to see more significant contractions.
So, as a builder, assuming they're not in the fetal position,
no.
And in talking to most of our builders, they're jumping into high gear. So,
no, they got businesses to run. They got to sell homes. That's the name of this game. You got to sell homes, no matter what the economic climate is.
You can't just check out and say, "I'm going to pause for a while." So, super proud of what I'm hearing from the builders. What would be your recommendation for builders, actions that they can take?
So I do think this is a time to pause and pivot. We've had it kind of really good for a lot of years in a row. It hasn't been that V recovery from 2008 where suddenly everything went back to a million home sales a year. It took a long time every year. It just got better and better and better and better and better and better. But most of the builders that you and I have both talked to over the last few years have just been doing phenomenally well. They've been selling everything they build. We've even gotten to the point where builders are telling me, oh, they're lining up. We had to have an auction. We had to have them take numbers. We had to have a $1,000 deposit even to be considered for the home. I mean, this is the kind of talk we had, in 2007, right?
Way
before
back.
The crisis, right? So builders have had it really good, and I think what we need to do now is pivot and realize this is going to be a harder game. But it, the encouragement that I would give them, at least at this point in time, it's not an impossible game. So what we immediately need to do is we kind of need to double down on the buyers that are in the market. You know, when we do marketing as builders, we kind of spread our marketing all around. And some of it, we kind of just spread in the general, you know, market to see if we can catch people. We have billboards, we have advertising that we spread across advertising networks. I think it's time to repurpose a lot of that spend and just focus on the buyers that are in the market. If somebody is in the market right now, knowing what they know, and they are searching for homes right now, then they're pretty serious about buying a home. So you need to get in front of them, and then you need to retarget them and be very merciless about your pursuit of them. And if you're lucky enough then to get the lead, to make that connection, right, and actually get them into your network, I think there we're going to have to really think about retooling our whole sales effort. My guess is we've gotten a little lazy in just how much effort we put into converting each lead and connection at a builder, and we're going to have to sharpen that tool again, and we're going to have to really mercilessly focus on these consumers. And I think there's some great messages. We can retool our messages. You know, rates have come down. You know, we can retool those messages and lock in your new purchasing power. Well, what do you mean? Oh, well, rates are down to 2.5%. At rates to 2.5%, you can buy an $80,000 more home than you could just 3 weeks ago. Or, you know, this beautiful home, which would have cost you, you know, $1,800 a month 3 weeks ago, now only costs you $1,600 or $1,500 a month. There are some messages out there that, again, if they're in the market, if they're buying, I think we have a great opportunity of pulling over the threshold, but we're going to have to change some of our messaging. We're going to have to redistribute some of our marketing dollars to really focus on the people that are in the market. And then we're going to have to retool some of our sales skills so that we really are doing a good job kind of following up.
Well, and it almost seems like, you know, I have these visions of these new home shoppers sitting at home, and of course their kids are with them now, so the home feels a little tight, a little small, and maybe a little germy.
And maybe they're looking for something, someplace to live.
That, you know.
For themselves or the whole family, either one.
Origination of demand, you know, maybe too much time with your significant other is not a good thing, but I can see them kind of going through this process, but they're almost like remote buyers.
Yeah.
And they don't happen to be in another city. But they're remote.
Look, I've been banging this drum for a long time. It is absolutely time for us to recognize that every buyer is potentially a remote buyer. We've been in the remote buyer business for a long time.
Right.
I mean, look, 15 years ago, we had people overseas, military personnel, for example, relocating to San Antonio, for example, and they didn't have time to fly here. They didn't have leave. So they'd have to buy a home online. And what that meant is they searched online. They found things. They called the rep. The rep sent them things. They worked on email. The contracts went back and forth. You know, we can do this. And I think that's one of the things that we need to do is we need to, right now, enable the virtual buyer. And we need to advertise it. Every single builder in America can today activate virtual buying. And I'm not talking about rebuilding your entire website and changing all your business processes. We've been doing this for years. We simply need to advertise it. And we need to tell them, you know, do this whole process remotely. Blah, blah, homes, right? We have a complete remote buyer process. What does that mean? Oh, let me explain. It's four easy steps. Go on our website. You do all this. You pick all this and call our concierge service. And what they'll do is they'll send you all this information, go through this. We'll even take you then on a model home tour via FaceTime or some live video chat, right, so they can view the actual home. You know, after that, we've got Envision. You can go on Envision. You can select all of your options. If you don't have Envision, hey, we can at least send you some kind of options kit that explains what all the options are so that you can look at them. Then we can have a design center appointment and do it via webinar. You know, there are tools today for us to be able to do this without completely, you know, boiling the ocean and thinking, oh my God, this is a 10-year, you know, mission for us to do this. We can do this today. And I would suggest that all builders immediately go, okay, let's put something on our website that lets people know that you can buy, you can shop and buy virtually. And then let's think, you know, look at that process. Well, what are those steps? And what will we do when we get to that step? Are we going to, for example, tell them you can make an offer on any one of our spec homes? Well, how would we do that? Well, you have them call one of your sales reps. The sales rep can take a contract, say, what do you want to offer on this home? I'll fill the contract out for you. I will send it to you. You can review it and sign it and send it back, and that's the offer. There you go. You suddenly have an instantaneous virtual offer program. And I realize there are cooler ways to do this with technology, and all of us should be working on that. But in the meantime, we can pivot today. We can meet the buyers where they are. We have to remember, in 2017, 41% of millennials put an offer in on a home without ever visiting it.
That's amazing.
So yeah, that was 2017. Millennials are the largest buying group of homes today. So if they're already willing to do that, we should kind of meet them where they are, and we should remind them. And I think in this climate right now, it's a great opportunity to lock in your new purchasing power, do it remotely so you don't have to show up. You can socially distance yourself, and you can hunker down at home. And I kind of call it, I know people make fun of me, but I've been talking about this locally. I go, well, look, you can go from a dream to beam, right, in four easy clicks, right? You know, let's make it fun and easy and encourage people and give them the confidence that they can do this and they can do it right now. We've still got a lot of shoppers looking, which means our builders have a lot of potential buyers, but they are going to have to kind of change behavior a little bit, redeploy some of those dollars, rethink some of their business processes. If we do that, then we're going to sell some homes.
That's great. Well, and I do think there's this amazing opportunity against used properties, right, compared to new. It seems like new is even easier to go through this process than perhaps used.
Yeah, so, I think there's a lot of advantages for new, you know, over used, right? New, you know, used, there's so many weird inconsistencies. New, you know all the new, you know it's going to be brand new, so you don't have to think about, well, what condition is all this stuff in? It's new, and it's all warranty. Yeah, so it's a much easier proposition, I think, to have the confidence to buy virtually.
Great. All right. Well, in addition to kind of giving our builders this list of things to think about and do, just FYI for all of our builders, we are on a mad tier with our own site and our own content to make sure we're bringing forth the right messages and that we're highlighting on New Home Source and our other sites how shoppers can shop remote, how they can connect with you virtually. So we'll be updating you on that as we go through this week. So we'll be back next week as promised, and Lord knows what will have happened in the next week. So we look forward to an update on consumer confidence and trends that we're seeing, as well as some of the things that we're gonna be putting in place, and no doubt some more tips for our builders as we go through this. So thank you, Tim, for being with us here today.
My pleasure.
We'll be back next week.